a passionate instigator and dynamic problem solver. Dr. Kevin Ross Emery, the host of the Dr. Kevin Radio Show, will be taking you outside the box, behind the curtain, and identifying the load of BS we are fed every day. And now, Dr. Kevin.
Hello, 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 everyone. This is not Dr. Kevin, and I've never really quite put together what I think is an effective Dr. Kevin impression, so I'll just be me. This is Matt Connerton, but this is the Dr. Kevin Show. We're live here on Ohm Times Radio, changing the world one ohm at a time, as Dr. Kevin likes to say. So Dr. Kevin is currently with family, dealing with some things. So he texted me last night and asked me if I could fill in with him. Of course, if you're a regular listener on the Dr. Kevin Show, you might be familiar with me. I'm usually on with Dr. Kevin the first Thursday of every month, and we kick around what's going on in the world of politics and world events and so forth. And sort of, as Dr. Kevin likes to say, we try to look at it through a spiritual lens, although we don't really get too spiritual with that conversation. But yeah, so you can usually hear me on with Dr. Kevin then, but occasionally he'll ask me to fill in for him on the show, which I'm very honored to do, you know, partly because, you know, Dr. Kevin is one of my closest friends, but also because I love being on the air. We do have a guest scheduled, but apparently the guest has not yet arrived. So we'll see what happens with that. But I can wing it until she signs on, or if she signs on. There's been times in the past that Dr. Kevin's asked me to fill in for him where the guests, for some reason, I don't know if there's a breakdown in communication or whatnot, but the guest never quite makes it, in which case we just kind of end up with a bonus edition of Matt Connerton Unleashed is what the show kind of turns into. So that's the show that I do. I'll throw in a quick plug for that while we're waiting. And if we have to wait too long, we'll just we'll move into some stuff I would like to discuss with everybody. But yeah, so my show, Matt Connerton Unleashed, it airs weekdays, 4 to 6 p.m. Eastern. And you can listen to it online at ipmnation.com/live1. That is my site, ipmnation.com. And, of course, if you happen to be in the Manchester, New Hampshire area, you can even hear it on FM radio here in Manchester on WMNH 95.3 FM, which happens to be where I am right now because I just got off the air a few minutes ago. So usually when I do Dr. Kevin's show, I finish up my show in the main studio at WMNH, and then I run upstairs to the production studio because there's usually not anybody in here at this time of day, and settle in, call into the show, and we're off and running on the Dr. Kevin Show. So anyway, that's kind of like old times, you know. Matt Connerton Unleashed, we used to do it on Ohm Times, so it's like it's almost a homecoming of sorts. But so it's fun to be back on here, and like I said, you know, anything for Dr. Kevin. And like I said, he's dealing with family right now, so he's got a lot going on. So he texted me last night. I'll let you in on this. I got a text message from him about, I think it was about 9:30, and I missed it. I didn't see it until this morning because something very uncharacteristic happened to me. I fell asleep really early. I am nocturnal by nature. I'm usually one of these people who is most alert and awake at like 3 a.m. I'm weird like that. And I don't necessarily sleep a lot. I'm definitely not an 8 hours a night type of guy. I'm not like our president who allegedly only sleeps 4 hours a night, but I'm not a big sleeper. But the thing about that is it does catch up with me. And when it catches up with me, the lack of sleep and the crazy schedule and whatnot, my body will just kind of say, okay, we're going to shut down right about now, whether you like it or not. And then whether I like it or not, I'm asleep at 9:30, dozing off on the couch. So Dr. Kevin texted me last night and I felt terrible. I didn't see his text until, very early this morning. But I know he's an early riser, so I texted him back very early and I said, hey, sorry, I didn't see this till just now. But, yes, I would be happy to fill in for you. So always glad to do so. So in lieu of our guest, let's see, what time? I've got about 6:08. So So she may not be showing up. I don't know. I don't know what happens. If she does show up, that's great. If not, like I said, you'll kind of get a little bit of a bonus edition of Matt Connerton Unleashed. If you've never heard my program, we do a lot of different kinds of things. I just heard a change in the audio. Is somebody there? Is my guest there? Gotcha. Okay, cool. Thanks, Chris. Okay, so my show, Matt Connerton Unleashed, it's kind of a mix of music and politics and humor and we do some crazy stuff. Sometimes we get into this conspiracy theory realm with some of the people who come on and so forth. But the main center of the show is politics. You know, I'm a bit of a political junkie, and it is quite an amazing time to be alive. There's always, you know, Chris and I always chat a little bit before the show when I call in for Dr. Kevin. And, you know, there's just always a lot going on in the world in the era that we live in. And I find very often with my show that I will do, you know, I'll do some show prep. Typically I'll be online, you know, a couple hours before I'm going to go on the air, and I'll have maybe on a typical day, I'll have 10 or 12 different things, articles, sources of information, et cetera, pulled up and ready to go for when I get on the air. I don't know for sure. I operate almost entirely on instinct, in the sense that once I'm on the air, you know, I'll usually open with a silly political satire or something, some sort of music. But I don't know until we're actually rolling what I'm going to lead with. And sometimes I end up, depending on what's happening, if there's breaking news or whatnot, sometimes I will have picked 10 or 12 things and I don't get to any of them in the first hour or at all during the show. You know, I might get, you know, these, you know, I take calls on the air, of course, during that program from calls. So, you know, we just, it's interesting. I started the show as a podcast back in, 11 years ago now? Is that even possible? And no. It's not. I'm sorry. I'm confusing that. I started it back in 2011, in the summer of 2011 is when I started my show. But at that time, you know, I was doing it once a week, and every week I would go and try to find things that I thought would be interesting to talk about and interesting to the listeners politically. But now it's so easy. Every day I just go online and it's like all this new stuff, and Trump said this and Trump did this, and, you know, William Barr's being held in contempt, and Trump Jr. has been subpoenaed, and, you know, 15 other things have happened in the last 24 hours. So it's very, very easy to do a show about politics because there's so much going on that the only real challenge at this point is trying to narrow it down. You know, maybe tonight on this program, I'll go through some of the things that I didn't get to on my show, because I never get through everything. I mean, there's just always so much. And, you know, it's probably very bad for the country, but it's a fun time to do a political talk show. That's for sure. Because there is always so much happening. Matter of fact, this is a little bit of foreign policy news, and I'm looking at Reuters right now. I've been watching this very carefully. You know, I'm very critical of our president, Donald John Trump, and some would say that I shouldn't be, because he's this, you know, I have callers to my show who will laud his many achievements, of course. You know, it turns out the guy only lost about $1 billion between 1985 and 1994, according to a transcript of his taxes. So, you know, whatever. Actually, a little side note, I started doing this thing recently where very often on my show, what will happen is I'll be saying something critical of Trump, and then a Republican or just maybe an independent who happens to be a Trump supporter will call my show. A lot of libertarians really love Trump, which makes no sense because there's nothing libertarian about Trump. But Trump supporters will call my show and they'll do the standard, you know, they'll start complaining about Hillary Clinton. You know, they'll do the standard butter emails or what about Benghazi? And that's how they defend Trump, which is frustrating to me because here we are in the 2020 election cycle. Hillary Clinton is not on the ballot. And yet on an almost daily basis on my show, I'm forced to talk about her because people call my show and start talking about her. It's you would think she was the Democratic nominee in 2020. And I'm fairly certain that, in fact, Trump will spend considerable time and resources in the 2020 election cycle running against Hillary Clinton. For real. I mean, you know, even if Joe Biden's a nominee, you know, I'm sure at his rallies, he'll take a lot of shots at Biden, but he'll also be leading chants of lock her up and talking about Hillary's emails and bleach bidding and all this stuff. So I've taken the plane. I play this song, this Hillary Clinton remix, it's called, that I found online. So now when somebody calls my show and they start talking about Hillary Clinton and trying to use Hillary Clinton to defend Trump, you know, I'll start playing that song. But I deal with that all the time. It's remarkable. But one of the things, though I am critical of Trump, I tried to give him, in fairness, because, look, I'm not a Democrat, by the way. I'm not a Republican or a Democrat. I'm an independent because I think both parties get a lot of things wrong. And I think both parties fundamentally are I think the two-party system is bad for the country. Let me put it that way. And, you know, I know some people will say, well, Matt, those are your choices, you know, just like, you know, for cola, you got Coke and Pepsi and that's it. To which I say, BS. I used to drink quite a bit of RC Cola when I was a kid. So, no, you don't have just two choices. You only have two choices if you believe you have two choices. And it's a self-fulfilling prophecy in a sense. But one of the things I did try to give Trump some benefit of the doubt about early on is foreign policy, in the sense that, now that's acknowledging he clearly knows nothing about foreign policy. I don't know how much he's actually learned about foreign policy as president. I suspect very little. He's not the most curious-minded person. But I try to give him some benefit of the doubt. For example, I appreciated his willingness to speak directly with Kim Jong-un of North Korea, rather. Not South Korea, that's Moon Jae-in. Is it Moon Jae-in? Am I saying that correctly? Yeah. No, Kim Jong-un, of course, North Korea. I give Trump credit for that, you know, because I think that that was something long past due. And, you know, the policy of past administrations, you know, which was effectively just kicking the can down the road, I didn't think was particularly effective policy. So I thought that was a good thing. But now it doesn't appear that anything positive is coming of that. And the latest news, of course, according to Reuters, North Korea has launched more missiles. They're back to doing missile tests. And the U.S. has now seized a ship of the North Koreans as tensions continue to mount. So we're pretty much right back where we started. I don't think Kim Jong-un has been issuing any threats yet directly at the United States. And our president has not yet gone back to Twitter to talk about how he has a big red button that's bigger than that of Kim Jong-un and so forth. So we're not quite there, which is good, but we appear to be on that trajectory. And that's very troubling and disappointing. You know, I really do try to, I mean, I'm tough on him, but I really do try to be fair to him. And I really do try to find things. And there are things, by the way, about Trump that I will give him credit for. It's a pretty short list. Let me see what I can come up with off the top of my head, because I know there's something, right? I just want to prove I can be fair. oh, yes, criminal justice reform. He signed criminal justice reform, a great effort by Jared Kushner, actually teaming up with, I don't give him credit for much, but Jared Kushner teaming up with Van Jones to get that done. And then Trump signed it. And that's a great thing. The First Step Act. which is all it is. It's a first step, but it is literally a first step, and that's good. Now we need a second step and a third step, and there's a lot that we need to do, and we need to end the drug war and let out nonviolent drug offenders who are in prison for no good reason, et cetera. But it is a good first step. So I give Trump credit for that. Okay, that's one thing. I'm trying to think of another thing. Nothing leaps to mind. Maybe something will come up later. But I tried to give him some benefit of the doubt on foreign policy. I don't think Hillary Clinton would have been great for foreign policy. Hillary Clinton, in my view, is a neoconservative in terms of foreign policy. I've always said I think she would have been very comfortable on the foreign policy team of the George W. Bush administration. She talked about wanting to put a no-fly zone over Syria, which I think is nuts and a potential flashpoint for World War III. We don't want to be in a position where we might end up shooting down a Russian plane that violates the no-fly zone that we enacted, because that's very, very frightening in terms of what might come next. So I try to give Trump some credit on that, but it doesn't seem to be working out the way I had hoped. We're still in Syria. He said we were getting out. We haven't. Things appear to be the progress that he had made with North Korea, which, again, at the time seemed genuine, but that appears to be unraveling. There's a lot of saber rattling going on. We might actually be invading Venezuela. I really hope not, but I do think that John Bolton and his very frightening mustache are trying to push us in that direction. I know they are. So I'm not feeling as good. Now, that doesn't mean that a Hillary Clinton foreign policy would have been anything great either. Like I said, I had some pretty dire concerns about where she might take us. But the one thing that I had high hopes for with Trump is that there would be far less of an appetite for the sort of adventurous, interventionist foreign policy that we've had for so long. And I think there probably is, in fairness, less appetite for that with Trump than there had been before. But I am getting concerned that we might actually invade Venezuela. We got to take a break. You're listening to the Dr. Kevin Show. This is Matt Connerton filling in this week, doing a little bonus unleashing for you on politics. And we'll be right back. Don't go away. We're live.
Conscious Media for Conscious Minds. Om Times. Have you ever wondered how to change your love paradigm? The secret key is finding a love partnership, not just a regular connection. How do you find these? Through conscious relationships. Ascending Hearts Dating is a dating site for people like you that believes in second chances and a different type of spiritual connection. Try Ascending Hearts for free today at AscendingHearts.com and change your love paradigm. Ascending Hearts, the premier dating community for the spiritually awake.
Hello, I'm Sandy Sedgbeer, host of Om Times Magazine's flagship radio show, What Is Going On? My passion is sifting through information, research, and innovations from New Thought teachers, speakers, and researchers pushing back the boundaries of what we know about life, energy, metaphysics, and the universe. I love shifting perceptions about who we are, why we're here, and how quickly impossible becomes normal when we open our minds, expand our awareness, and accept that the only limits that exist are those we place upon ourselves. So if you're the kind of forward-thinking, eager investigator of what lies beyond the current reality that most perceive, why not make a date to come play with me in the field of possibilities at 4 p.m. Pacific Time, 7 p.m. Eastern Time every Thursday, and together we can discover what's really going on.
Imagine being fired because of who you love. Imagine being denied medical treatment because of who you marry. Imagine being evicted because of who you are. Millions of Americans don't have to imagine this. They have to live it. Because in 31 states, it's legal to discriminate against LGBT people. Get the facts at beyondidoo.org. brought to you by the Gill Foundation and the Ad Council.
Welcome back, everyone. This is the Dr. Kevin Show. We are live on Ohm Times Radio. Matt Connerton filling in this week for Dr. Kevin here on the Dr. Kevin Show. And it's just me. I'm all by myself. So we're just kind of talking politics tonight, which is what I discussed with Dr. Kevin, typically the first Thursday of every month. Although Dr. Kevin doesn't know this yet because I just found this out, but I will not be here the first Thursday in June. Because actually, I need to look at a calendar. June 6th, I just got invited to participate in some programming here. I'm calling right now from WMNH 95.3, which is the station in Manchester, New Hampshire, from where I do my own show. And apparently, the first or June 6th, I don't know if that's actually, well, yeah, that would have to be the first Thursday, right? I've been invited to participate. Apparently, we're going to have some candidates here at the station. We're going to be on another show. Yeah, so I'll have to get with Dr. Kevin. I might be on a different Thursday that month. But anyway, yeah, Andrew Yang, one of the Democrats running for the nomination, is going to be here. And I think maybe Pete Buttigieg. I still struggle with his name. Buttigieg. I'll tell you, these names that have too many vowels and not enough consonants, it's just not acceptable to me. I like easy to pronounce simple names like Smith or Jones or Papadopoulos, you know, just easy names for a guy from New Hampshire to say. But quickly, let's finish up with the North Korea thing, and then we'll move on to some other things. So this is from Reuters. North Korea launches more missiles. U.S. announces ship seizure in mounting tensions. It says here, North Korea fired what appear to be two short-range missiles today in its second such test in less than a week. And the United States said it had seized a North Korean cargo ship as tensions again mounted between the two countries. Trump said nobody is happy at the launches, but still appeared to hold the door open for more talks with North Korea. South Korea said the tests were worrisome and unhelpful and likely a protest against Trump refusing to ease economic sanctions on North Korea at a failed summit in Hanoi in February. The U.S. has given no sign of willingness to budge on sanctions, and on Thursday, today, the U.S. Department of Justice announced the seizure of a North Korean cargo vessel it seized. It said, rather, was involved in the illicit shipping of coal. Oh, my goodness. I wonder if that was clean coal. You know, Trump loves the clean coal. He probably wants some of that for himself. You know, as Trump once explained, it's where they take the coal and they actually clean it. Yes, Trump literally said that once, if you're not aware. It says here, North Korea has effectively pulled back from engagement with Washington since the Hanoi meeting between its leader, Kim Jong-un, and Trump collapsed without agreement on U.S. demands for dismantling of Pyongyang's nuclear program and Kim's demand for relief from punishing sanctions. Trump told reporters, quote, I guess this was today, he said, quote, the relationship continues. I know they want to negotiate. They're talking about negotiating, but I don't think they're ready to negotiate, unquote. Well, you better figure out what they're ready to do, Mr. President, because apparently they're ready to get back to testing these missiles. Acting U.S. Defense Secretary Patrick Shanahan said the U.S. would continue to focus on diplomatic efforts with North Korea. He told reporters outside the Pentagon, quote, we're going to stick to our diplomacy. And as you all know, we haven't changed our operations or our posture and will continue to generate the readiness we need in case diplomacy fails, unquote. Trump has held up a freeze in missile testing since 2017 as a sign of progress in his talks with North Korea after exchanges of fiery rhetoric 2 years ago raised fears of war. Again, that was what I referred to earlier, the my button is bigger than your button. And remember what Trump said at the UN? Oh, we might have no choice but to totally destroy North Korea. North Korea formally announced a freeze in ICBM and nuclear bomb tests in April of last year. And Trump stressed, that the missiles fired were not of a kind that could threaten the U.S. He said, quote, we're looking at it very seriously right now. They were smaller missiles. They were short-range missiles. Nobody's happy about it, but we're taking a good look and we'll see, unquote. Well, I'm sure, if you're talking about short-range missiles, I'm sure that South Korea and China and others are not too happy. Because I take a quick gulp of water. U.N. Secretary General Antonio Guterres urged all parties to continue talks toward denuclearization, et cetera, et cetera. There's more here, but it gets into the weeds a little bit. Actually, I'm going to skip down. It says South Korea's President Moon Jae-in, who has strongly advocated engagement with the North, said that even if the missiles were short range, they could still violate U.N. resolutions barring the North from developing ballistic missiles. He told a South Korean media outlet, quote, North Korea seemed to be discontented it could not reach a deal in Hanoi, unquote. Well, yeah, no kidding. I'm kind of skipping down here. Yeah, it talks about this seems to be an escalation, et cetera. But for a long time, that is what Trump was sort of hanging his hat on as a victory. Was that, look, you know, before we met the first time, remember they had that first meeting in Singapore. And Trump said they fell in love. Yes, he said that at one of his campaign rallies. We met, we got along great, we fell in love. Apparently nobody fell in love with Mike Pompeo. The North Koreans no longer want Secretary of Defense Mike Pompeo involved in anything. And by the way, so I was surprised to see Shanahan's name pop up, but Politico is reporting as of just a few minutes before we went on the air, Trump taps Shanahan to be next Pentagon chief. The move came 2 weeks after an ethics probe cleared Shanahan of allegations he had shown favoritism to his former employer, Boeing. So Shanahan is going to be running the Pentagon. I don't know much about him, and I didn't really follow that that issue with I know that he used to run Boeing. And did he run Boeing, or was he just tied to Boeing? I forget now. You know, all these different swamp creatures, it's hard to keep track of what their individual swampiness type things are, you know. Because Trump was supposed to drain the swamp, but he seems to be fine with having the swamp sort of, you know, he's just going to swim in it. He's okay with that. So we should talk, and actually Chris and I were talking during the break a little bit about Venezuela and so forth. This is interesting. The Washington Post is reporting a frustrated Trump questions his administration's Venezuela strategy. Let's see. Actually, well, we'll go with something more recent. Sorry, I just want to, because I just saw something else pop up here. Venezuela. I really hope we're not, we were talking during the break about how, you know, we hope. I mean, it sounds like, oh, there's something, there's an update here from the Washington Post. Okay, this just happened. Except it's not going to let me read it without subscribing. Never mind the Washington Post. I'll find this somewhere else. They're reporting that the Venezuelan embassy has gone dark. Let's see. We can find out about that somewhere else, so we don't need the Washington Post. I don't like to pay for things. Venezuela, let's see. We'll get that. Okay. Venezuela embassy. What just happened there? Let's see where we can find that out. Somewhere that doesn't cost anything. Oh. Activists inside the Venezuelan embassy no longer have water. Let's see. This is a site, DCIST, DCIST.com. Okay, so this just went up. Activists inside the Venezuelan embassy no longer have water or power. The standoff at the Venezuelan embassy in Georgetown has continued for more than a week, and the tension only appears to be increasing. As of last night, the activists who have barricaded themselves inside the embassy since early April no longer have water and power in the building. Carlos Vecchio, the Venezuelan ambassador to the U.S. appointed by the opposition government, took responsibility on Twitter for the power outage. Activists have prevented him from entering the embassy. And then it goes into some details about that. But I want to check something else. So, you know, are we getting closer to an actual invasion of Venezuela? Because, you know, it's like Chris said to me during the break, you know, this would be a way to distract everybody from, you know, from what's going on with William Barr. Again, I think I'd mentioned earlier, William Barr now cited for contempt by Congress. I mean, there doesn't seem to be any way to actually punish him. I think they can impeach him. They can actually impeach the attorney general, I believe. But the Miami Herald is reporting Republicans stand by. Well, this is an opinion piece, but Republicans are standing by the beleaguered people of Venezuela, unlike the Democrats. It's an opinion piece, so I'm not going to bother with it. It was written by the Republican national chairwoman in Florida. However, the fact that Republicans are, you know, quote unquote, supporting the beleaguered people of Venezuela tells me something. And it tells me that they're getting ready to line up behind Trump if Trump decides to invade Venezuela with the idea of liberating the Venezuelan people. Now, I would think that there would be some who would be deeply disappointed with Trump doing that because, you know, like I was talking about earlier, one of my hopes for a Trump presidency would be that, you know, one of the things I took comfort in, and I remember thinking about this on election night, 2016, one of the things I took comfort in was the idea that perhaps he would be less pro-war than previous presidents. And I remember when he did that, I think it was during his first year, when he did that missile strike. Yeah, it must have been when he did that missile strike in Syria. You know, the one where they hit that airfield after someone showed Trump some video footage of a lot of dead children after a chemical attack that may have been done at the direction of Assad. I don't know if we're to this day actually sure. And Trump said, well, we have to do something. And he ordered a missile attack on an airfield in Syria, which apparently was operational, fully operational again within 24 hours, and it didn't seem to really do anything. But I do remember it was one of those rare instances where Republicans on social media who had been very supportive of Trump, and I saw it, you know, here in New Hampshire, you know, politics is a big deal here, first in the nation primary and so forth. So I saw a lot of Republicans that I know personally in politics here on Facebook, maybe not a lot of them, I shouldn't say a lot, but there were some who were sort of saying, well, this isn't a great thing. We don't necessarily agree with this. This isn't what we voted for. You know, there's a lot of Republicans who are anti-war as well, at least around here. Yeah, I don't know if it's necessarily like that everywhere, but in New Hampshire, maybe it's because we have a strong libertarian wing within the Republican Party here, and libertarians are more apt to be anti-war than conservatives. But, you know, but it's not just, you know, the stereotypical liberal peacenik Democrats. There's a lot of anti-war Republicans here. And some of them were saying, you know, this isn't what we voted for. So I wonder if Trump does. And by the way, I don't think it's going to happen. I'll say that. I don't think it's going to happen. I think it's a lot of saber rattling, but I don't think he'll pull the trigger on it. Then again, I also didn't think he would actually try to fire Mueller. And then we find out from the Mueller report, there's probably 10 instances where he actually did try to fire Mueller, just tried to figure out a way to get somebody else to do it and then lie about it so his hands would be clean. So I could be completely wrong. Maybe he will pull the trigger on invading Venezuela, which would be nuts, in my opinion. But, sorry. My phone just made a strange noise and it distracted me. But we're coming up on a break anyway. But we'll see what happens. But if there are a lot of Republicans who are actually now, and I don't mean Republicans here in New Hampshire that I know who are anti-war, but Republicans in Congress who are throwing a lot of support behind the people of Venezuela, they may be getting ready to help Trump wag the dog and distract people from, you know, the fact that Trump lost $1 billion over the course of 10 years, as we now know, you know, that great businessman that he is, right? You know, and William Barr being cited for contempt and whatever's going to come out of Donald Jr. now being subpoenaed to testify and all this stuff, right? Because Republicans who have something to lose are very afraid of doing anything that upsets the base of the party, which is now Trump's base. You know, I mean, I think we can say at this point, and I think we have been able to say for a long time, Trump is no longer, maybe he never really was, an interloper who entered the Republican Party and you know, is an aberration, and eventually he'll go away and things will go back to being normal. I think, you know, it is Trump's party now. And this is the new normal. And I think that, you know, it takes a lot. I mean, the only Republicans really who ever criticize Trump are the ones who think they can get away with it without losing something, without losing reelection. Because Trump's base, as I've said it to Dr. Kevin, so I've said it many times on this show, and I say it all the time on my own show. They are largely people who are incapable of being embarrassed or disappointed or upset with anything Trump does. I do remember a funny tweet from Milo Yiannopoulos after Trump did that missile strike in Syria that I was talking about a moment ago. He tweeted, this was before he was banned from Twitter, or maybe it was somewhere else on some other social media site, but he said something about, there comes a moment in every young boy's life where daddy disappoints you bitterly, because he refers to Trump as daddy. Maybe a lot of Republicans refer to Trump as daddy, or I think they certainly think of him that way. But we got one more break, and we will be back for a final segment this week's Dr. Kevin Show. I am Matt Connerton, in for Dr. Kevin. Don't go anywhere. We are live.
The Real Conscious Connection, Om Times Radio, IOM FM. The number one reason girls drop out of school in sub-Saharan Africa is lack of access to feminine hygiene products. The Pads for Schoolgirls Project, an outreach of Humanity Healing International, is changing this paradigm by setting up sewing programs at schools, teaching girls a vocational skill, while producing the reusable pads that help keep them attending classes. The girls pay it forward by making and giving pad kits to other girls in need. To learn more, visit humanityhealing.org. Humanity Healing is where your heart is.
More than 24 million Americans have an autoimmune disorder, and that number continues to grow. I'm Sharon Saylor, and I'm one of those 24 million. To put that number in perspective, cancer affects about 9 million and heart disease up to 22 million. That's why I've brought together top experts and those thriving regardless of their diagnosis to bring you the latest, most up-to-date information. Join me, Sharon Saylor, Friday night, 7 p.m. Eastern, for the Autoimmune Hour on Life Interrupted Radio to find out how to live your life uninterrupted.
911, what is your emergency?
My kid shot himself.
All right, where's the wounds?
911, what's your emergency?
Please help my son shot his brother.
911, what is your emergency?
Okay.
911, please state your emergency.
Every day, 8 kids and teens are unintentionally killed or injured by loaded and unlocked guns.
It wasn't locked.
Learn how to make your home safer at endfamilyfire.org. Brought to you by the Ad Council and End Family Fire.
Hello, hello, hello. Welcome back, everybody. You are listening to the Dr. Kevin Show. We are live on Ohm Times Radio, changing the world one ohm at a time, as Dr. Kevin likes to say. My name is Matt Connerton. I am a guest hosting for Dr. Kevin this week. And it is just me and my, well, I need another drink of water. Forgive me. The pollen count where I am in Manchester, New Hampshire is very high right now. According to the weather reports, it is not so high that I can actually see the pollen floating around in the air. That's when you know it's really bad. You know, when you look outside and it looks like it's snowing because there's so much pollen, it's not quite there, but it is very high right now, apparently. And, you know, I'm susceptible to that. I usually take an over-the-counter antihistamine that clears me up. I usually take one in the morning and then I'm good for the day. I know this is fascinating to all of you, but I usually take one in the morning and then I'm good for the day. But sometimes during the day, if I'm talking a lot, you know, if I do my my own program and then I come on the Dr. Kevin show, it's like my allergies start kicking in a little bit and need to hydrate, as they say. So before we run out of time, I will I'll give one more plug to what I do. So I host my own show called Matt Connerton Unleashed, and I am live weekdays from 4 to 6 p.m. Eastern Time at ipmnation.com/live1. Or if you want to get all the details on the show, you can go to ipmnation.com/MCU for Matt Connerton Unleashed, and you can get the archives, you can find out when the show is live, how to listen, etc. And of course, I'm typically on the first Thursday of every month here on the Dr. Kevin Show with Dr. Kevin. We always enjoy that. We talk about politics for that hour. But occasionally, Dr. Kevin will also ask me to step in and guest host for him. He's a very, very busy man with a lot going on. Right now, he's dealing with some family things. So we send thoughts, prayers, positive energy, and all that great stuff his way, because he is going through some you know, he'll be fine, but he is going through some challenging things that he has to deal with in terms of his family. And, you know, it's kind of stuff we all have to deal with at some point. So, but, you know, but we love him and, you know, we support him and all of that. So, and I'm very, very proud to call him my friend. And I'm proud that he trusts me with his this program that he does, which is very important to him. So I'm honored to be here. So I wanted to check this out quickly. I didn't have a chance to look at this, but now I am here in Manchester, New Hampshire. And of course, in New Hampshire, the Boston sports teams, even though Boston is obviously in Massachusetts, the state directly to the south of us, but here in the state of New Hampshire, the Boston sports teams are kind of our sports teams as well. So the Boston Red Sox, by the way, this is why the rest of the country hates us here. Because we have sports teams that apparently win a lot, whether it's the Red Sox winning the World Series or the New England Patriots winning the Super Bowl. I myself know very little about sports. I've never been a sports guy. It's not particularly interesting to me, but I do like it when our sports teams do well because it makes people around me happy. And I like to be around people who are happy. That's a good thing. So even though I personally don't care, when people around me are happy about our teams winning, that's a great thing. Now, I do get interested in sports, though, when something that doesn't have anything to do with the game itself happens. So, for example, when there's a big scandal happening, like when Deflategate was going on, that was fascinating to me. And that, you know, did involve the New England Patriots, of course, our hometown team here. Or, of course, the players kneeling during the national anthem at NFL games, Colin Kaepernick and all of that. Very, very fascinating to me. An issue that I have very strong opinions about. Personally, I support the players and their right to kneel. And I don't understand why all the snowflakes on the right are so triggered by that. But ooh, I know, scary black people kneeling in protest. So offensive. he said, somewhat sarcastically, but I only, not to bring race into it, but let's be honest, if it were white guys doing that, these people wouldn't be so freaked out. No one wants to say that, but we all know it's true. Anywho, So when these things happen, or when a sports team of note, of some recent championship winning, is invited to the White House and they're served fast food, that's fascinating to me as well. Now, the first time it happened, who was it? Was it the New England Patriots? The first time it happened, it was during the government shutdown. So Trump thought he would be cute. And what did he say? He said, oh, it's so great. It's all American food. It's all American food that if you eat enough of it, you'll get colon cancer. But that's okay. It's all American food, you know, Burger King and Pizza Hut and whatever it was. So he thought it was cute to do that because the alternative would be, because it was during the government shutdown, I guess the White House chefs weren't around. The alternative would be to have the first lady and the second lady go back into the kitchen and whip up some salads. And that wasn't going to be happening. Yes, Trump did literally say that. So instead he ordered all this food. By the way, look, I enjoy a Whopper, but were I a championship winning athlete, would that be a part of my diet? Probably not. Okay, but he did it once. I didn't have a problem with it, actually. I wasn't critical of it the first time that he did it. I was like, okay, it's kind of weird, right? You're serving this kind of food to these athletes, but I get it. You know, there's a government shutdown. You're trying to be a little bit funny and show that you're innovative or resourceful in a time like this. So you order out and you order all this stuff. But, well, I mean, like I said, I enjoy a Whopper. No cheese. I don't like cheese on my burger. I love cheese, but I don't like it on my burger. I'm very odd that way. Anyway, I might get a Whopper after I'm done this show. Okay, because now I'm thinking about it. Anyway, but I'm not a championship-level athlete either. Well, I mean, I kind of am. No, I'm not. I'm not even close. But he did it again, and he did it again. Like, there's been a pattern now. The first time was one thing. But he keeps doing it. Now, what I do not know is, like, the last time he did it, I think, prior to now, was when he had the team from Baylor, the women's basketball team, and he's serving them garbage food. I do not know. I'm going to find out with you, well, unless you already know, which you might. I'm going to find out with you in real time right now, did he do that again today? When being visited by our very own, if you're from New Hampshire or Massachusetts, our very own Boston Red Sox, did he serve them Whoppers and Pizza Hut and French fries and whatever else? Did he do it again? Let's find out. Okay, so I'm on thehill.com, one of my favorite websites. It says Trump hosts Red Sox for celebratory visit amid high-profile absences. Ooh, some people decided to not partake. Well, perhaps some people just don't like Whoppers. Let's see. I mean, it will stick to your hips. It says here, President Trump welcomed Major League Baseball's Boston Red Sox to the White House to celebrate the team's 2018 World Series championship, despite some players opting not to participate. Trump lauded the Red Sox as a very special team, recounting its unstoppable regular season performance, where the group racked up 108 wins before defeating the Los Angeles Dodgers in the World Series. The team presented Trump, a Queens native and a fan of the rival New York Yankees, with a commemorative number 18 Red Sox jersey. Trump offered at the conclusion of the Rose Garden ceremony to give the team a tour of the Lincoln bedroom. Apparently, he made a similar gesture to NASCAR driver Joey Logano during a visit last week. Trump said, quote, they never get to see the Lincoln bedroom. It's like sort of you're not supposed to be showing it. So if the press, the media doesn't report me for this, I'm going to take them up and show them the Lincoln bedroom. They wanted to see the Lincoln bedroom. I'm going to give the tour myself, unquote. I'm kind of skipping down because here's what I want to know. All right. Well, it says here, I don't see anything about the food. Did they not get served food What, did they just show up for the ceremony and a tour of the Lincoln bedroom? And they didn't even get to eat? What's going on here? All right, so here's who was absent. Manager Alex Cora and a handful of other players were absent. Cora, a native of Puerto Rico, said he did not feel comfortable visiting given the Trump administration's response to Hurricane Maria, which devastated the island in 2017. Wait a minute. Now, I got to call out this guy, Cora. Well, what's the problem? Was he not there for when Trump was throwing those beautiful, very expensive rolls of paper towels at Puerto Ricans? Was he not there to catch? Was he not there with a catcher's mitt to catch a roll of those incredible paper towels that Trump was throwing? I mean, come on. Let's see. Reigning American League MVP Mookie Betts, pitcher David Price, third baseman Rafael Devers, and center fielder Jackie Bradley Jr. were among the players who did not make the trip. Price noted on Twitter ahead of the visit that those absent were mostly players of color. The pitcher on Tuesday shared a tweet from a columnist who quipped that, basically, it's the White Sox who will be going. Oh, snap. Red Sox chairman Tom Werner told reporters after the Rose Garden ceremony that he considered the invitation a tribute and did not consider declining. The Trump presidency has made traditionally standard White House visits for championship teams a fraught prospect for many athletes. A number of teams and individual athletes have rejected invitations from the president, often citing his rhetoric and policies on race and immigration. Oh, interesting. None of them said they don't want to eat a Big Mac. All right. There's nothing in this article about what they ate. I'm going to have to Google it. Red Sox White House visit 2019 meal. Let's see. I have to know. Maybe they didn't eat. Maybe that wasn't part of the deal. Yeah, you know what? Everyone in the media, everyone's reporting on the players who opted not to go. Nobody's talking about what they ate. So maybe they didn't get served food. Okay, there's a live video here. Red Sox visit the White House. I'm just going to click this quickly. I know we're almost out of time. I just want to see. I mean, you all won't be able to hear it, but I just want to see if I can get a visual on what these guys were eating or if they were served food. I mean, if they weren't served food, I have to assume it's because the team is from Massachusetts, and Massachusetts is very, very liberal. Look, it's not a swing state. Trump has no chance of carrying the state of Massachusetts in 2020. So Trump might have said, you know what, we'll skip the Big Macs and Whoppers and Pizza Hut. All right, let's see. And this video is not going to play. I'm on Boston.com. Oh, here we go. All right, the video's playing, but it was a little slow to play. You know, I complain about this all the time. A lot of these websites, instead of just putting their videos on YouTube or Vimeo and then embedding them into their sites, they insist on having their own proprietary players that half the time don't work. I don't think they got – and looking at this video, there's no indication that they were fed. I don't think they got fed. Maybe it was late in the afternoon or early in the morning or something. I don't know. I don't know why I'm so fixated on this. Yeah, you know what it is, honestly? I'm just going to be real with y'all. I think at this point it's actually my stomach that's hosting the show and not me. I think that's what's really going on here. You might not all be aware of this. I say this on my own show all the time. I don't know if I've ever mentioned it on the Dr. Kevin show, but it's my stomach's world. You all just live in it. You might not have been aware. Now you know. And, you know, once you understand and accept that, you'll probably be much happier. We'll all get along much easier. Trust me, I think it's the key to world's peace and harmony, really, is just accepting that. It's all about my tum-tum. Let's see. Is there any? Yeah. So I don't know. I don't know if they were fed. I honestly don't. Well, we're almost out of time, but just quickly, Mediaite is reporting that former chief of staff John Kelly declines to answer if Trump is a stable genius. It says former White House chief of staff John Kelly declined to answer. The Washington Post reports that Kelly was on stage at the SALT conference on Wednesday for a conversation with Anthony Scaramucci, the Mooch, the former White House communications director who Kelly fired about 10 days into the job. The two seemed ready to let bygones be bygones, however, since the Mooch noted that, quote, some people would be surprised he would accept the invitation. And Kelly answered, I couldn't be prouder that I am right here now to share this stage with you. As they concluded a broad range discussion on a variety of topics, Scaramucci eventually asked Kelly what he thinks about all the self-praise Trump has for himself. The thing is, Kelly didn't say whether he thinks Trump is a stable genius, and the audience laughed at his hesitation when he answered the question. All right, there you go. We are out of time. Thank you, everybody. Thank you, Ohm Times Radio. Thank you, Dr. Kevin, for asking me to guest host. And I'm out of here. Matt Connerton signing off the Dr. Kevin Show. I'm sure Dr. Kevin will be back with you next week. Bye, everybody.